This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It is 4 p.m. on a Thursday, time again for Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and today we have joining us in the studio Angela Bruno, the Executive Director over at the Carbondale Clay Center. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Raleigh. Thanks for having me.
And we also have Will Young, who is an architect with CCY Architects and the man behind the new Clay Center, soon to be built, we hope, within these next few years.
One of several, but yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. And that is the topic of today's show. We're going to be talking about the Clay Center's capital campaign, their new building. They also have an exhibit now with high school students ongoing right now. So we'll touch on that as well. But I'd love to jump off with the building because it's been kind of murmured about for many months, even years now. And it feels like it's coming to this much more official place and it's public and we're getting excited about it. So tell us a little bit about the new building and what you're personally looking forward to. And we'll start with you, Angela.
Okay, thanks. Well, this has actually been talked about for years and years. In fact, Will here was on the board 20 years ago and actually did a set of renderings for the Clay Center.
20 years ago?
Yeah, way back.
Oh, wow.
Way back
when. It's
been
talked about for a while.
So, a very long time. So this feels full circle right now, which is amazing. It's just time, you know. We've been just plugging away with the building in the condition it is and the size that it is and with the restrictions it has, and it's just no longer sustainable. The building itself is just ready to, it's ready to come down. It's ready to be a bigger and better place, right? So we currently have one classroom space in the Clay Center, and so our classes, which run throughout the year, they're 8-week sessions, inevitably fill up within a day or two, and then we have a wait list of around 100 people for each of these sessions. And then the studio rental space for makers in the community. At any given time, we have about 30 people on a wait list for studio space. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing the best we can to accommodate, and it's just not sustainable anymore. So the time has come. And it is with great community support and effort that we are ready to launch, so to speak. We, you know, this hasn't been a big secret for many years now, but we are at a place right now where we're comfortable going public with the press. Here we are talking about it. And the support and the momentum is overwhelming. I'm really excited, terrified, but also really, really excited. And love working with CCY and Will. This has been amazing.
Yeah, on the architectural side, we just had HBC review 2 weeks ago and planning and zoning review and approval last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did get a little bit of that in this article by Kate Phillips talking about what the building previously was, which was a lumber mill or something.
That goes back a lot. Historically, there was the Dinkle Lumber Mill and Mercantile Store on the site. That was removed many, many years ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's no longer there, but we had old photographs and a plan that kind of showed its location on Main Street.
Cool.
The current building has been there 40-plus years, and I think it was either a mechanic shop or a landscape kind of maintenance shop.
Mm-hmm. And there was a big community effort around maybe it was an expansion of the current building or something to do. I remember Diane Kenny talking about just the hands that went into, maybe it was just remodeling whatever that previous building was into.
Yeah,
the Clay Center.
There was some serious grassroots efforts put into securing that location. And I think the remodel on it was modest at the time. And Mike Stranahan was instrumental in helping Diane with the Clay Center in those early days.
I got to say, Angela and her staff does an amazing things. Turning over shows, setting up shows, turning classes. I don't think many people have an idea of just what they do with such a small amount of space.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty
impressive.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah, and the impact that's the Clay Center is having globally, even.
Yeah.
And certainly nationally with such a small space.
I know. It's really incredible. I mean, the legacy of Carbondale Clay Center is, you know, thanks to Diane Kenny for bringing this place into fruition. There's been over 40 artists in residence who've come to Carbondale to work at the Clay Center, and many of them continue to live and enrich the arts up and down the valley, teaching other places, still teaching with the Clay Center. Stephen Colby, who was one of our first residents, is helping out with exhibitions now. The impact is it's incredible. It's very moving, and we're actually all going to Salt Lake City next week for INSICA, which is the annual ceramic conference. And we have an exhibition, actually, that's going to feature artists from all over the country now, but who have had some impact on the Clay Center. And it's so moving to read about, to see all the people still involved. Will has a piece in the show, Allegheny Meadows in town, a handful of former residents, instructors who've taught workshops from all over the world, really. So the impact is huge, and it's growing. And we know that we are a significant player in the ceramic community nationally, and we really hope that this new building with the gallery possibilities, the exhibitions we'll be able to host in this new space, we're really hoping to grow that impact.
Mm. Well, when I look at this rendering, and earlier before we got on the air, Will Young described it. It's printed in the Sopra Sun, but there's this corner that's very prominently facing Main Street, and he explained it as a gabion wireframe. So it's almost like a mesh, but it's filled with all these fired pieces of pottery. And I see that above that, there appears to be a little deck, which could look across the Main Street to the Marble Distillings deck.
I'll talk about the space, and then I'm going to let Will talk about the gabion. But you know, we host a lot of events throughout the year. First Fridays, so it was important for us to have some outdoor space because all of our events right now are outside, right at the Clay Center. We didn't want to lose all of that. So this design is pretty fantastic. So the rooftop deck there, it's adjacent to a smaller gallery space, actually, so we can have events up there. We'll rent that out to community members as well, so other people can use that space for events. And then we'll be able to run sort of two different kind of exhibitions in the Clay Center. The main gallery will always have some sort of exhibition in there, of course, but then upstairs, you know, we can have more of these community shows, these student shows, work on display from people all over the community. And then it opens up. There's access to the outdoor space downstairs on the building, and there's a pocket park and a sculpture garden planned. So that deck will allow flow inside and outside of the building for events.
Cool.
And the gabion wall is so cool. I'm going to let Will talk about that.
Well, it's actually an idea that dates back to ancient Egypt, where they filled reeds with rocks as bank retainage. So you still see that used today in highways, road cuts, and things, and it's probably been the last 20-ish years architects and designers have kind of latched onto the idea and started using them on buildings. So it's, you know, in our case and in other uses that I've done with it, it's about a 4 or 6 inch veneer. Most of the times you see it filled with river rock or rock fill. In this case, we are filling it with fired ceramic wares. So it will be kind of a really calling card for the Clay Center, identifying it, and you'll know where you are and what you're looking at.
Is there some programming planned around those ceramic wares? And will like?
Oh, for sure. While we're in the interim, we're going to do some sort of big community fundraising event, collecting fired ceramics to put in there.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely stay tuned for how we're going to fill that thing. I think we're all working on that ourselves, actually.
Yeah, I'm collecting my loved but unused pottery to help fill that wall.
I have about 4 boxes of ceramics in my garage right now I'm saving for the gabion.
Cool, because I can just picture people pointing to their kids or
exactly.
Partner. I made that one.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll always be there. I know, it's so cool. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. And we actually saw an example of it at the HPC and the P&Z meeting. Gavin Brook made a until I saw the example of it, it was so stunning. I was so excited, but it's going to be really cool. I can't wait.
Some little mock-ups on it, just to test the idea and see how it looks. And
yeah, it was awesome.
Cool.
It was awesome.
Super colorful and
and
lots
just
texture.
Totally unusual, you know. And it's gonna be striking. It's gonna be stunning and just so cool. I hope it sets. I hope it inspires other ceramic arts organizations. Actually, I hope. Yeah, I'll be talking about it.
And Will, as an architect, is there anything else about the building that specifically has you excited?
Yeah, for me, you know, as someone who works in ceramic arts and has for a while, you know, it's really exciting for me to be involved in this design and bring my knowledge about the process of clay and making ceramics. And the building is kind of laid out in that way. So to the street side, Main Street side, we have the gallery, the lobby, and classrooms. So anyone driving down or walking down the sidewalk, we will be able to look into the building and see the activity, which has always been a little bit of the complaint about the current building that, you know, it was so solid that you didn't really know what was going on, even when we had big events. So this building will be very transparent, and it kind of flows front to back in terms of the way ceramics is worked with, of wet clay to being fired. And then the kiln yard or kiln shed is on the very back side of the building adjacent to Rio Grande Trail. And that'll also be somewhat open so people going down the trail can look in and see the activity of pieces being fired.
And the article mentions 24-hour access for members. So I'm envisioning maybe it's designed so it can be sectioned off more easily and allow that access.
You know, we offer 24/7 access now, but with the one studio space, that's not very accurate. Studio renters can only use the space outside of programming. So, having this additional space is going to allow people to be working in there literally 24/7 if they wanted to. Yeah.
Cool. And the goal is to break ground by spring 2026. So we're about a year out.
We are about a year out. Yeah, we hope to break ground when we hit 75% of the goal, which we are still establishing right now. But we are hopeful, and it seems quite possible and positive that it will be spring, summer of 2026.
Cool.
Yeah. And we really hope it is because, as I said, the building is, the roof is compromised. Like it's just time. So, we're really needing to push this through.
Well, another part of the article that jumped at me, and I think this is really cool, is you now have board members like Kate Talmadge and other people in the community that are willing to open up spaces, because as we can imagine, while this is being built, there's going to be a big absence of a clay center.
Only of the physical space. We are definitely going to have a big present. And I actually would like to take a moment to acknowledge my board. I certainly could not do this alone. And the Carbondale Clay Center board is just the most engaged, thoughtful, creative group of humans I could hope to work with. And every one of them is basically working full time for no money on this project with me. And it's really incredible. Kate Talmadge, who owns Main Street Gallery and Framer, she's co-chair of the gallery committee at the Carbondale Clay Center. She has offered to host our gallery while we're closed, which is so incredible, so we can continue to participate in First Fridays. We'll be right in the heart of everything. We'll be able to set up for First Fridays and still promote what's happening on our end of on Main Street down there. And everyone is pulling in and pitching in and helping, and it's it just makes this seem so much more real. You know, there's so much goodwill and help coming our way. Every one of our building partners is contributing in kind to this endeavor. Wow. And yeah, I mean, the community, the support of the organization, volunteers and board has just been incredible. And our consultants, we have really fantastic consultants helping us right now.
Our consultant team is pretty much all local, Roanoke Valley. So
yeah,
KLNA is our structural engineers. They're just down the street. An LS group is doing our lighting, and yeah, everybody has reduced their fee structure to be part of this project.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Assuming CCY Architects is a big part of that too.
Yes, absolutely.
They're probably the biggest part of that.
Beating the drum on that one.
Yeah, they have been really incredible and very, very generous. And also, anytime I call him to come talk on the radio with me, he's here.
Wonderful. Well, in case you're just tuning in, that is the voice of Angela Bruno, Executive Director at the Carbon Oak Clay Center for nearly 10 years, I just learned. And we also have architect Will Young, previously on the board of Clay Center and now with CCY Architects, part of the team, bringing the vision for the new building into fruition. And interestingly enough, the whole corner there is going to get redeveloped. There's plans for a food truck park right next door. And so I'm curious to know how conversations have been with those folks and whether there might be some flow planned around that.
Yeah, there definitely is. Actually, Rich Camp is one of the owners of that development. He's our landscape architect. So we've talked with him a number of times and saw his plan and layout of their building, and we've kind of altered ours to kind of same level of porosity between the two. So we see a lot of synergy between what he's doing and what we're doing and how one can support the other on First Fridays or events. You know, the Clay Center has historically had big outdoor events, and, you know, even though we're putting the building to street side, we still are maintaining a parking lot and driveway and park where outdoor events in the summer could take place. So I'm sure we'll be actively participating with them in those kind of events.
Yeah.
Well, I love the look of the Clay Center, the current Clay Center from the Rio Grande Trail. And so I'm imagining that you've also had fun thinking about that perspective too for the people walking or biking.
Yeah, we have, you know, all the materials we've chosen are very durable, low maintenance, sustainable, very fire resilient. Mm-hmm. But the Rio Grande Park sees so much, or Rio Grande Trail sees so much activity back and forth, biking and pedestrian, that it was just a great opportunity for us to kind of have a double-sided building. You know, there's a number of entry points into the building. The main entry is up front, but there are side entries, and there's large sliding panel doors that will allow people going up and down Rio Grande Trail to look in and see kilns being fired or loaded or unloaded. The park will also kind of support that with, you know, either unprogrammed events of critiques or displays, or for a while we were calling it the boneyard, which is a pretty common thing in ceramic facilities where something didn't quite fire quite right and you put it out in the boneyard to preserve it for eternity.
Yeah, I'm excited for those first Fridays once this is all built.
Me too.
Be a few years down the line, but it's going to be pretty amazing.
It will be, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
And so you talked about Main Street Gallery and the Framer mm-hmm. hosting the gallery. What's the thought around keeping classes going?
So we, you know, I explored different spaces to rent while we were under construction. And, well, I mean, I think everybody knows how hard it is to find space around here, and commercial space is no different. So we've sort of pivoted. We're going to do extensive outreach during that interim period, which we're hoping will be 12 to 14 months.
Yeah.
Please. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be going, I mean, we do some of this right now. Like we go to Sopris Lodge, we take our programming on the road, in a smaller scale right now. But during that interim period, we are really going to partner with communities, with the schools, and we'll be going into those locations and organizations to teach classes. The Third Street Center is, you know, offered to host our tent and summer camps outside in the summer. So we're just really going to connect with our community members, and you know, we're planning on participating in all the farmers markets in the valley, Aspen, Carbondale, Basalt. So we're hoping people won't miss us too much. Obviously, operations will be scaled back. Those 8-week classes are probably going to be workshops now, shorter workshops. But we will definitely have a presence. We'll definitely keep everyone engaged, and we hope people won't miss us too much for that period. Yeah.
Well, between now and then, what's the best way the community can help the Clay Center?
Well, we obviously need support around this campaign. So telling your friends, you know, you can go to the Carbondale Clay Center website, www.carbondaleclay.org. We do have a campaign page there with all the information. Anyone can reach out to me directly if they'd like to talk. We're going to have to rally. You know, this is going to be a huge community undertaking, and The support so far has been so inspirational. I honestly have no doubt we're going to pull this off. So I'm going to be coming and probably coming back more on the radio, and I will be reaching out to our friends and community members.
Mm-hmm. And Carbondale's kind of a very, you know, arts rich and mm-hmm. supports the arts so well. So we're definitely looking for everybody's support.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll get done.
Yeah.
And I see that you've already raised $3.6 million toward the goal.
Yep, we have. And honestly, that initial 3.6, you know, I haven't really even made some serious asks yet. This is support from our existing members and donors. And mm-hmm. They really want to see this project happen. So the support, like I said, it's been incredible, obviously to the tune of 3.6 so far. We still have a ways to go, but we all believe in the project and the power of this community, and we're going for it.
Yeah. Well, I imagine some big fundraisers on the horizon.
There are. Yeah.
Probably a fun send-off for the current building.
Yeah, we're excited for that, actually. But no, we have a summer full of cultivation events planned up Valley. We're definitely trying to hit cultivation up Valley as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the Clay Center supports arts up and down the entire Roaring Fork Valley. So this project will impact everyone. So we're going to hit the road this summer and make it happen.
Well, a great example of impacting everyone is the Perspectives exhibit that's currently on display and has high school artists exhibited from Basalt as well as Roaring Fork High School.
Yeah, it is the sweetest show. You know, we have some really incredible exhibitions at the Clay Center, you know, well-known artists who've been doing it for years and years, and the high school show is just so sweet. It's where everybody really gets their start in ceramics, right? I mean, Will, you probably have pieces from high school that you made in college. And
unfortunately so, yeah.
You know, so do I. And I don't know, to see kids inspired by it, it's so moving. It's so special. And the work in the show it's really impressive. It's very sweet. And, you know, thank you guys for bringing the kids on the radio, the opportunity for them to talk about their work and their process and be part of an exhibition and talk about it on the radio and be on the cover of the paper. I mean, that's really cool. You know, this community really does rally around the arts, and supporting these kids in this is so, it's so special. It's so meaningful.
Well, shout out to Gush Richardson, our own high school correspondent, who did the story for the Sopra Sun.
Love that.
And Will, I'm curious to know how you did get involved in creating with clay. Was that something that started at a young age?
Yeah, it did go back that far, you know, even grade school or younger. My mom is downsizing, so some of that stuff is reemerging back to the surface. And like, oh, I forgot that even existed. But, you know, more recently, my wife had signed me up for a class in Raku pottery at CMC, which was in the old high school back then. And yeah, once you get your hands into clay, I think for a lot of people, you just all consuming. And there's so many venues of techniques and firings and glazing, so it's just a very broad arts practice mm-hmm. to get into.
Yeah,
and so much so that you joined the board and felt like the Clay Center was making a big impact in the Valley and wanted to volunteer your time there. And now to know that you're still connected and then 20 years later you're getting to see this building get built and to play a part in it too.
Yeah, I've kind of described it as a little bit of a dream project for me, you know, being involved in clay and doing this building. There aren't a lot of clay centers that get built from the ground up like this. It's kind of a rare thing to happen. So it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a solo exhibition for Will in the new gallery.
Cool.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing it. Well, we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything else? We'll start with you, Angela, that you want to add to close us out.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for the press and helping us spread the word about the project. I just want to thank the community and everyone who's rallying behind us right now and supporting it. And Will, thank you. And
you're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah, everybody, please check out the website, check out the page, and you can reach out to me directly with any questions.
Cool. And how about you, Will? Any closing thoughts?
No, I'm just, you know, really excited to, you know, as we're picking up, we've been working on it for about a year, year and a half with the board and developing it, and program is expanded and contracted, and we think we're just the right size for what they need to do now to meet their needs. And with some planning for opportunities for even expansion within the building down the road. So we're really excited about the project.
Awesome. That's right. So plenty of information about how to volunteer or donate to the Capital Campaign or sign up for classes.
Everything's on the website.
And what's that website again?
It's www.carbondaleclay.org.
And I think I saw something about the Clay Center hiring, too, if you want to
put
in a plug.
We are hiring. Yeah, we are hiring a marketing and special events coordinator. Obviously, we have a big summer ahead of us. I said that. So we're looking for help around those events. And we're also looking for more development and administrative help.
And are those one position, two positions?
It's two positions. They're listed on the website and on the socials. And again, you can reach out to me directly if you have any questions. But all of that info is on our website.
Great. Thanks so much, Angela.
Thanks for the plug.
Good to see
you.
And
you too.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for being here. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Thanks, Raleigh.
And that concludes another edition of Everything Under the Sun on KD&K. Stay tuned for the regional roundup coming up next.